fact that, you know, when the prayers are under the altar and the saints under the altar and their prayers rise up, that's what they're wanting, is vindication.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great comfort.
Yeah.
For someone. It would be for me.
Makes you feel better to know that when somebody's mistreated you, God's going to take care of that.
And it doesn't have to be in this life. You know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we see people who've been very wicked, and we kind of say they got their comeuppance, but I don't know if that was, you know, I can't say specifically that was God doing it, but I know there will come a time when they will pay.
And along with what you said about Jesus knowing, Jesus sees, he cares. In Hebrews 4, it talks about him being able to do that, and he's able to judge the thought and the intentions of the heart. So, you know, he can even see the intention of her heart. He can see the intentions of their heart. You know, on the outside, and when Jesus was on earth, there were hypocrites all around him, but he knew better. And so he sees the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He sees our heart. He knows what we're going through, and he knows how we feel and how we what we're striving to do, you know, even though we're struggling.
What do we say about the word hypocrite? It comes from the word that something to do with actors, mm-hmm. and but God can see through all that. Okay, let's see why he reproved them. He says, I have a few things against you. What were they? What did y'all have for number two?
There were people there who thought they taught things that were contrary to what Jesus mm-hmm. said. And evidently, from the best I can understand from the examples he used, is that the teaching of Balaam, which is a stumbling block before them, and also the teaching of the Nicolaitans, evidently it had something to do with idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
The best I can think of. Yeah. Or anything that is contrary to what God teaches. You know, when Balaam wanted the... Balak could not get Balaam to curse them because God would not allow it.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did tell them was, make friends with them, intermarry with them, and that's what happened. They started intermarrying, and then Israelites started participating in what the people they were intermarrying with
mm-hmm.
instead of staying faithful to God and obeying God's command by not intermarrying. So whatever it was something that was causing people to follow other things than God.
Okay.
You know, if you look back, what was going on when the Israelites did when they followed that, like Pat said, they were offering them to idols, it was idolatry, but it was all gross immorality
mm-hmm.
also connected to that. And so here you have Christians who are falling back into the world and just look at the world that's around them, you know, and it's in the Lord's church.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can all sit around and look at, oh, you know, that's out in the world and they don't know Jesus and they don't, you know, they don't know the gospel and this kind of thing. We better look in at ourselves, you know, instead of just everybody out there in the world. Because this is in the Lord's church. This is a church of saints that mm-hmm. you're trying to do.
The Judaizers were always heavy at work. We see a lot of that in Hebrews. They were trying to pull them back into out of Christianity into Judaism. So, as y'all mentioned, they held to the teaching of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. And evidently, they had not done anything about it. So what could they have done about it? Let's look at Titus. Nadine, would you read Titus 1, verse 11 and verse 13?
Titus 1, 11
and 13.
Who was despised because they are setting whole families teaching things they should not teach for the sake of glory and gain. This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith.
Okay, let's also read. Linda, would you read chapter 2, verse 15?
these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority, that no one disregard
you. And then, Susan Dunbar, would you read Titus 3, verse 10 and 11?
Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned.
So we see here, Titus was saying, Paul was writing this to Titus, the Judaizers and the false teachers, their mouths must be stopped. And we want to think about this in terms of Revelation. They were holding on to the teaching of the Nicolaitans and the teaching of Balaam. And so this is what, and we've applied this to us today. If we see this, something going on in this church, we need to speak up. And they were, if it's contrary to the truth, I think somebody mentioned that before, and it could even be something that's undermining the work of the elders. And then if they're unrepentant, let's look at 1 Corinthians. I'm going to look at chapter 5. I think I said that. So, I think we're familiar with this. There was a man, as Linda was talking about, this is going on in the church. In Revelation, and this could be today, a man had his father's wife, and they were doing nothing about it. Paul said, I have already judged him. Let's look at verse 5. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So the whole point of this was to save his soul. Look at verse 7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So we need to speak up when we see something. We talked pretty much about what Balaam was. Look at Numbers 31:16. Numbers 31:16. This is the end of the story. Pat, would you read that?
Behold, these caused the son of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. So the plague was among the congregation of the Lord.
Well, this is Moses talking. And Moses said Balaam was behind this. If there was any doubt in anybody's minds, there's not now. So let's think about the attitude. A lot of times we talk about examples in the Bible that we can follow and should follow. Look at Numbers 25. Melissa, would you read verse 4 through 8?
The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal and Peor. Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman, and in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked.
So we read some verses in Titus about things that we need to do. And do we want to be tolerant or intolerant? We need to think about following Phineas' example. He was intolerant and he did something about it.
Using the word tolerant and intolerant, if we tolerate something God does not tolerate, we're in big trouble. And so we're not being intolerant when we stand against sin. We are just simply doing what God commands.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't want to, they can call you whatever they want to. But the point is, God wants his people to be pure.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm tolerant of somebody who's living in sin, no matter what their sin is, God's not going to be tolerant with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we can say he's intolerant if you want to, but that's not, he's not being intolerant. He's being just. He mm-hmm. wants us to follow his law. And so when we're, as the world would classify it, intolerant, we're trying to be just and live by God's law.
It's the same kind of righteous judgment that you get, that God wants us, that he has, that he wants his people to make. You may be called names because you make a righteous judgment about someone's lifestyle. You may be called names because, not that you have to be cruel, but you want to tell them the truth because you love their soul. But you will be called names because you're making the righteous judgment like God wants you to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, you know, along with what Pat is saying, you know, can we be tolerant or are we going to be intolerant? You know, it's based on where you begin. What's your criteria?
Mm-hmm. I feel like 1 Corinthians is a good example. I feel like they were tolerating this sin and nobody was doing anything about it. And then when Paul wrote the letter, he didn't mince words. He let them know point blank what they should be doing. Was money involved with this problem with Balaam? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. See what Peter says about it. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness.
Where are you?
2 Peter 2:15. So, sometimes there's money involved when people get sidetracked and get into some of these problems.
And one thing that we lose sight of, God did not make these laws just whimsical and arbitrary. The laws he made to keep his people pure.
Mm-hmm.
And if they associate with people who are not pure and they make them their criteria, I've got to have this person for a friend, or maybe it's even a family member. And we have known people who, and I'm not judging them, we have known people who had homosexual children and they would allow them and their significant other to come and stay under their roof in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's between them and God. But my fear is, it's not just, okay, it may not cause me to sin, but they have children, other children and grandchildren that this person is going to influence. Because sometimes the one who's in sin is the fun one. And they do all kinds of things, and the children just think they are the grandest thing that ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is not condemned. And so, what does that say to them? We say one thing, we say homosexuality is a sin and that God condemns it, but then we tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is that going to tell them, not only for homosexuality, adultery, drinking, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we need to realize that God did this for our good. Every command that God has given us is for our good.
And I think this is the same thing as what you were saying, but I think we're putting our stamp of approval on it.
Sure.
If we let this go on in our house.
But they will tell you they are not. Oh, no, they know how I feel.
Yeah.
Do they really?
You know, Peter, you're in chapter 2 in 2 Peter. He begins chapter 2 about the false prophets arising among the people. Just as there will also be false teachers among you, he's talking to the Christians, who will secretly introduce destructive Pharisees, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. Just leads into what Pat was saying, you know, not only will the truth be maligned by them, but if you allow it and you don't stand up against it, then the truth is also being maligned. You know, you're not standing for truth. And, you know, and it talks about their greed in the next verse. And so, you know, it is. It's a hard line that sometimes we have to draw, and it really gets to be hard to understand that.
Yes. This may be kind of coarse, but when I talk about this, sometimes I use the phrase, we're spitting in God's face. I feel like when sin is involved, that's what we're doing. And if family members are condoning it, anyway, that's one phrase I use.
Well, that's what Christ said about people who have left the faith, that they're crucifying afresh the Son of God. And so, you know, they're just nailing them on the cross again when they leave and don't stand up for it.
I wanted to mention something, the teaching of the Nicolaitans. We don't know what that is, we're not told. You could pick up a commentary and you could get all kinds of information. You could really be enlightened. And I don't think there's anything wrong with commentaries, but you have to be careful. Because just like on this, they could tell you all things that the teaching of the Nicolaitans was, but we're just not told. And so we need to be careful about thinking commentaries are equal to truth. And number three, so what were the church at Pergamum, what were they exhorted to do in verse 16?
He says, repent, or else I will come and fight against them with the sword of my mouth.
So we see here that Jesus expects us to repent, and repent is what's needed. And what about verse 17? Hear what the Spirit says. I was going to use the example. If we have children or grandchildren, or in some cases nieces and nephews, I've said this. Do you ever say, are you listening to me? Do we say, do you hear what I'm saying? Are we just talking about ears? No. We expect action. And so that goes with what Pat was saying. What promise did he make to them in verse 17? Alyssa answered that. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. Now, who can tell me what that means? We don't know. What we know is the word white is used frequently in Revelation, and also the word new. And so we just don't know. But what we need to know is the people that were getting this letter knew what John was talking about. They knew exactly. And so
you were talking about the guard who has the swords. When they would bring in history, and they would bring the book down on trial, and they had there was a black stone and there was a white stone, or there was a thumbs up or a thumbs down. and even with the Christians in the arena. And if the whites don't up, you live. You had to prove it. If you had the blacks done, you die. And so, you know, it's to me, it's approval or disapproval, life, death. You know, based on their culture at the time that they were living. Now, I can't be, you know, dogmatic about that. But, you know, that was a part of the judgment, the scene of when they lived.
I don't know if y'all know this. In the early days of Texas history, the Mexicans did that too, and it makes me wonder if they got that from here. They did the white stones and the black stones and the living and the dying.
I didn't really try to figure out what it all meant, but what it meant to these people is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they had been promised. They had been promised the blessing of heaven. And what he's writing them here is, this is what you will get. It's not anything mysterious or, you know, anything nefarious out there somewhere that we cannot figure out what it is. It is salvation. That's what he's promising. Here, if you do this, this is what you will receive. And it's written in poetic language and all that, which that I'm not good at figuring out. But and that's very comforting. Then if you'll just listen and do what I tell you, this is what I'll give you. And that's what he's told us all. From the very beginning of his teaching, through all the apostles' teachings, that's what it's been. Do what I tell you, this is what you'll receive.
And it's like the manna. The manna was food from heaven, nourishment. This is talking about spiritual nourishment. Listen to what I say after your life.
Okay, then we always talk about what we can learn about Jesus. We've mentioned the omniscience. And y'all just talked about he promises to judge the ungodly and will avenge the faithful. What else, what did y'all have?
He doesn't stand evil under any circumstances.
He expects us to overcome, and he doesn't. No matter, and to be faithful, no matter what the circumstances. And, you know, people say, oh, that's hard. You know, I can't do this. Oh, that's just too hard. But Jesus expects us, whatever the circumstance, he'll help us through it.
Sometimes, this is not every case or most cases, but sometimes that happens because of choices that we've made. And then we find ourselves in a situation that's very difficult. But we, like you say, we can do it.
One thing I put Sandra was, he doesn't overlook our sin just because we're doing good things. We can do some good things and think, you know, I'm pretty good. It feels like, you know, it's kind of a balance thing. It's not. It's all or nothing. And yet he will bless us if we do overcome. And so sometimes the all or nothing is the hard part, because just like with family, when you have family members who were Christians at one time and are no longer faithful, that's a hard thing. And you think, well, you know, I go to church every service. I do this, I do this, I do this. This is the only thing. He can't expect me to give up my children or my mother or my you know, my cousins. We've been like sisters. But it's all or nothing.
Okay. The only other thing I had, I don't know if this was mentioned, Jesus is concerned about doctrine, not just loving one another, and perseverance in trial. Now, we did talk about that, but he's not going to let us substitute one thing for the other.
Okay.
Well, it's almost a quarter till we got started late. If we got through early, I was going to look at Zacchaeus for a minute. I just thought that would be fun. We have children. We've sung the song for years. I'll just mention one thing that I learned about Zacchaeus is sometimes it's easy to judge, and we have to be careful about judging. Zacchaeus was rich. We don't know how or where he got his money. He was a tax collector. But that doesn't automatically make him bad. Sometimes we assume things about the rich, and sometimes we assume things about the poor. So we can't do that. And one thing we've talked about in a lot of lessons is Jesus was always trying to get the Jews to see being a descendant of Abraham is not going to get you to heaven. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, he too is the son of Abraham. So anyway, if we'd had more time, or we probably would have studied that, the lesson that I got there. But I found that very interesting to go back and review. Okay, don't think of any other.